Greetings. It's been a while since I've been here from a funeral and changes, a few neighbors and a few friends from my study group. It's awesome to see y'all. Let me have a drink here. Let me do the Verizon thing. Testing, testing. Can y'all hear me?
Okay.
Good. One prayer I'd like to add to Susan's, if you don't mind. I'd like to lift up your pastor. And Abba, I just pray for Sandra. I pray for times of refreshing. I pray for unity with her daughter. And Lord, when she comes to our group, I pray she has a word in season. Prepare her and bless her. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's go to the great book. Let's do an opening greeting. I'm going to give you guys a small sampling of a little Hebrew. And would my group stand up, the three of you? Wouldn't it be interesting if we could transport back a couple of thousand years and hear some things in the original language? Is it all right if we share that with you this morning? Would you join me in Hesed Lakem? Hesed Lakem Vashalom Meit Eloheinu Veha Adon Yeshua HaMashiach. Now what is that, guys? If you open all your epistles, all the apostles wrote that greeting to all of you. It is in your epistles 17 times and in fragments 20. So that makes it relevant. And what is the translation? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord, the Messiah, Yeshua Jesus. Amen. From that, we are going over to Ephesians. And I have a little bit of glare here, of course. Turn with me, if you want to follow along, to Ephesians 4, verses 4 and 5. Joy, have I got glare. And the word is, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were all called into one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Well, my message this morning, every year, I kind of remind our group the importance of baptism. I mean, our first two great commandments is love the Lord our God, love your neighbor as yourself, but the two things we are to do, communion, the Lord's Supper, and baptism. So it's worthy of reminding everybody. But there is this great polemic, which would be to argue or the other, an apologetic, which is to argue two sides or to defend a point. Be the attorney. This morning, I hope I can show you in the Word that there is certainly more than one. There is a unity of one. That sounds weird, but we have the same picture. Do we not have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we don't call ourselves following a pantheon, we call ourselves following a unity of one? Well, that makes sense. If we fought the Roman army, would we fight one soldier, or would we fight a unity of one? When we fought World War II, would we fight one guy, Hitler, or would we fight an army? We fought an army in a country. So there was a unity of one. This morning, I want to argue both sides, and I want to challenge you. Maybe you've stopped at one place in there. But in order to understand that, I think we need to back up, understand the culture and the writings of the people. Bob, do you got that next one for the mikvah? Quite commonly, if you back up, mikvah means baptismal. It's the Hebrew equivalent. Tevilah is the same word as immersion. But when I studied this and backed up, if you go to almost any Jewish site, Kavod or any of the others, you will look at mikvah instead of baptism, and all of a sudden you will go, to enter the mikvah is to enter the embryonic fluid of rebirth. How can one be born again unless he believes and is baptized? That popped for me and made perfect sense. So, with understanding the people and the customs, let's back up and get a little bit of a mindset of the people who wrote our book. What did they believe? Let's go back to Noah. They so often believe that the world, through the flood, went through a mikvah. It was under the water, immersed, and then came back with the rebirth of eight souls out of the ark. How does that affect Israel, the author and writer of our patriarchs in our book? They stand and do one step further. When they crossed the Red Sea, they down in the valley, and came out. They went in as a sinful slave nation and came out priestly and kingly. Well, that starts to draw a little bit of a picture for me, but I'm inquisitive. What does our scriptures have to say? And this morning I won't go through and read all of these, but if you've got a pen and paper, feel free to write them down, or I'm sure we can make a few copies for you afterwards. What does Mark 16 and 16 say? He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Why is baptismal important? Because if you look at it from the Jewish mindset, then all of a sudden it's the embryonic fluid of rebirth. That becomes very interesting. But is there one sprinkle, one God, one baptism, dedication at child, or is there more? And that is the debate here today that I put before you. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Our Lord said to them, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, first off, being a little analytical, I can say you need to immerse yourselves as a new believer into the Messiah, his life, his words, his culture, what he said, what he did. We can read it as a historical document of what he did, or we can read it as his life in us and what we should be doing. That's awesome. What about the Father? The Son reveals the Father, and the Father reveals the Son. Some of us don't know Abba's love. And certainly some of us have missed the power of the Holy Spirit in that. Is a unity I love. But is there more? Let's go over to Acts chapter 19, verses 3-5. If you can trust me on this one, then we'll get you through the rest of them and we'll shorten it. Paul said in Acts chapter 19, verse 3, and this would leave you to question, is there more than one immersion? So Paul asked, then what baptism were you baptized? John's baptism, they replied. Paul replied, John's baptism was a baptism for repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after that, and that was Yeshua. So was there an immersion for repentance? Was there an immersion for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 2 and 38. Believe and be immersed in the name of Yeshua, or Jesus. Wow, that sounds different than repentance. I messed up. I need to wash away my sin. Sounds completely different. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Immerse yourselves into one body. That's a hard one to picture. Except for this congregation. What is the black and the white picture on one body? We have somebody who bops into our group. I think the first week they go to one study group, the second week they go to another, the third week they visit ours, and the fourth one, who knows? They got grasshopper complex. And then when I think of this congregation in this house, I think no more than Mick, our beloved Mick that's gone. I can remember his stories of saying he came up here to fill the old wood stove in the basement the night before, and there being a few horse and buggies around. That was a man who immersed himself into a people and a congregation. And that is so important because we lose our ways, we lose our friendship, we lose the praying people in our lives. Immersing yourselves into other people is messy. Immersing yourselves into a husband or a wife is messy. I can tell you, it's not all smooth in romance. Sometimes she socks me and straightens me out. Yes, dear. But the importance of immersing yourselves into one body. Wow. Luke chapter 3, verses 16. These were the words of Yochanan, John the Immerser. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And if we back up to Acts chapter 2 and verse 3. we realize that at Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out. So do we have this apologetic message, one God, one baptism, or is there a unity of one? And I think we all need to realize that sometimes to love the Lord is to obey His commandments. And sometimes we have to sit down and say, oops, I went the wrong way. And in all my bachelor's degree in theologians and academiology, and this subject occasionally comes up, I've never heard a professor ever say, it's a great sin to be rebaptized or immerse yourself and say, oops, I need to be buried in Messiah. Let's look at what it is differently for an Old Testament versus a New. Galatians 3:27. He who is immersed, baptized, identifies with our Messiah's death and burial. He who is raised up is clothed in our Messiah, in Christ. I need to look a little bit more like the Messiah. I need to look a little bit more like our King. In fact, I need to do a few more works. It's okay. All of us need transformation. And sometimes I think we forget this generation or this group of people might understand this dippity-do, a little dabble, do you? Sometimes our baptism were from our childhood. And sometimes I wonder, do we need to take a second run at that, being immersed, coming up clothed in our Lord? I stand back with the argument of this. We can read one God and one baptism, or I can look at a Jewish culture. Every girl has gone through her monthly period. You'll understand that. At the end of every month, they went through the mikvah. What would that mean over the course of the year? At least 12 times. The spring feast, Passover, Pentecost, Shavuot, the fall feast, you're at 15 times a year. The rabbis might do it daily or when they're on duty going into the temple. Over 10 years, that's well over 100 times. And yet we stand and hear, one dippity-do, one drop will do you. I sometimes wonder if we don't need to obey and be immersed, not only in water, but into one body, immersed in the Spirit, immersed in the messiness of each other's lives. When's the last time you drove by another congregation and prayed for them, and prayed for their pastor, prayed for their leadership? What you sow, you reap. And we all need that. Criticisms can be buried. As Pastor Tony once did, took it all away and buried it. Sometimes I think we need to do that for ourselves. For those of you from my group, most of you with the Aaronic blessing, as our Lord ascended, He blessed the people. And our group, the Aaronic blessing is part of our tradition. So to for you guys to catch it. Please stand. Please posture yourself as if you're actually catching it. This will be your second Hebrew lesson. So, as it was first said in the original Hebrew, Ivarekeka Adonai Veishmereka, Ya'er Adonai Panav Aleka Vihunika, Yasa Adonai Panav Aleka Viasamlika Shalom. The translation, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Mikey's translation, the last thing, shalom, means so much more than just peace. May it destroy the authority that binds you to chaos. May it destroy your infirmity, because it is a word that means wholeness. May it destroy your poverty and give you prosperity. May his blessing that causes overflow abound to you. In the name of our Messiah, Yeshua Jesus, amen.